Thank you. Ephesians chapter 5, please. Ephesians, of course, one of your New Testament epistles. Now, epistle is a fancy word for a letter. Well, it's a little bit more than just a letter. It's more like an authoritative letter. Ephesians chapter 5. I'd like to speak this morning a little bit on being filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit. Now, I think this is very important, especially on a day like today, because we need to recognize that Thanksgiving is not a feeling. Thanksgiving is not a feeling. Did you know that? Nowhere in the Bible are we commanded by Christ to feel thankful. Anywhere that at least I'm aware of, we're not commanded to feel thankful. But many, many times, we are very clearly commanded in the Bible to give thanks. So giving thanks is a decision that we make. It's a not a feeling. It's a decision that we make to trust in God by faith and to humble ourselves. That's what thanksgiving is. I humble myself before God and I recognize that I do not deserve the blessings that He gives me. And I recognize that I'm abundantly blessed and I'm privileged by all His provisions for my needs. Now, the problem, of course, though, that in our natural state, we usually don't feel too thankful, right? We see that already in the children. You know, it's a tough goal sometimes to teach them thankfulness, amen? And you got to remind them and remind them and remind them. It's just like, we told you already 2,000 times you got to say thank you after everything. And why do we still have to remind you? Well, because it doesn't always come natural, amen? Now, we know as adults, I think if we're honest, we don't always are thankful neither. And so it requires the power of God to do that. I think it really does. And that requires the Spirit of God inside of us and to make that thanksgiving acceptable to God. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Think about that. I believe being grateful is a natural result of being controlled or being filled by the Holy Spirit of God. You know, if you would look at the fruit of the Spirit there in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, we don't see thankfulness particularly mentioned, but all the characteristics of the Spirit of God described there clearly result or indicate a spirit of a spirit of thankfulness. So that's why I want to turn here to Ephesians chapter 5, where once again we see that being filled with the Spirit is associated with giving thanks to God. You know, when I'm living in sin, when I'm living in carnality, in other words, I'm controlled by the desires of my flesh, I'm usually not going to spend too much time thanking God. Amen? That's one way how you can test all the decisions in your life. You know, whether it's your relationships, your career, your entertainment choices. Can I do this and give thanks, God, for it? If I can't, it's probably not a spiritual thing to do. Amen? And so here in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 down to 21, I believe we see how being filled with the Spirit is associated with giving thanks to God. If I have a critical, complaining attitude, which of course I never have. don't ask my wife. folks, when I do that, I'm not filled with the Spirit. Amen? I'm not filled with the Spirit of God. And really, he ends up being grieved by those things. Let's read there in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, I'm so thankful for the family of God assembled here this morning. And dear Lord, I just pray that in your mercy, Lord, despite me, you would bless your people with manna from heaven today. Lord, I pray that you would feed our souls, you would guard our minds, and you would direct our hearts toward you and your commandments this morning. Father, we pray for the lost to be saved. Would you minister to the children in a very powerful way, and may every one of them grow up to be saved, to love you and to serve you. And Father, we pray that you would help us to be thankful today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Being filled with the Spirit is associated with giving thanks to God. And the first thing that I want to see here as we start looking in this passage of Scripture in verse 18 is that being filled with the Spirit means to be under the Spirit's control. To be under the Spirit's control. And, you know, kind of similar as a man or a woman would be filled with wine and with alcohol when they're drunken, and that liquor, which, by the way, is called spirit for a reason, is controlling them and is, you know, overriding their natural reason in a lot of ways and is guiding them. Similarly speaking, the Holy Spirit of God, rather, ought to control the Christian and ought to dictate what we do and how we respond to God in this world. And it is the Holy Spirit of God that ought to control us to be thankful. Like I said, it's not a reaction of our flesh, so it must come through the power of the Spirit of God. Now, that's really the only way how being drunk with wine could be possibly compared here with the Holy Spirit filling. Notice there in verse 18, it is rather not being compared but contrasted with being drunk. It says there, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but, so there's a contrast there. In other words, rather be filled with the Spirit. And again, being filled is not some mystical zapping that you get, you know, when you get really spiritual and you get to some big shot and he touches you, or you know, you get some special tongue speaking, or you fall down and laugh on the floor, or any of that stuff. Folks, those things are very tragic and very unscriptural that are happening in many Christian circles these days. We clearly see in the book of Acts that that was a fulfillment of prophecies from the book of Joel on the day of Pentecost, there in Acts chapter 2, in verse 15. And, matter of fact, interestingly enough there, the people in Jerusalem accused Peter and the apostles of being drunk. And Peter makes it very clear, no, we're not drunk, we're actually just, you know, being filled with the Holy Spirit. They weren't stumbling around or falling on the ground or laughing hysterically, as we see certain places do today. No, rather being filled with the Spirit meant that they were yielded to God's control in their life. The Apostle Paul teaches us in Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8 how to be filled with the Holy Spirit just like that today. Did you know that? Now, we don't have and don't need any of those signs anymore that God had promised specifically to the Jewish people. Once again, folks, the modern Pentecostalist movement is really a result of not distinguishing between the Church of Jesus Christ and Israel. And once again, mixing those things up. Anyways, that's a different story for Thursday night, all right? Encourage you to come out there and learn about Revelation. But there in the book of Acts, we see, and in Romans chapter 6, more so how we're told to yield ourselves as instruments as righteousness unto God instead of instruments of unrighteousness as we've done before. Amen? And so what this basically means is that I need to die to self. Right? Jesus Christ calls his disciples, hey, and I'm paraphrasing now. Again and again, he says, if you want to be my disciple, deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me, right? You need to die to your self-will, to your self-desires, and rather now live for Christ, for his will, for his desires. Amen? Being controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, as we see described there in Ephesians 5, Colossians chapter 3, and Romans chapter 6, and other passages, it means rather that each day I start out and I make a decision. Remember, being thankful is not a feeling. It starts with a decision. That I decide I'm going to surrender my life today again to the Lord. Now, it's not enough that they did that 10, 15 years ago in a church service sometime. That's a daily decision, again and again and again. And a choice that we need to make, that I'm going to choose God's will and God's way rather than mine or the world's. That is how the believer gets spiritual strength. That's how we get God's wisdom and his guidance. That's how we get filled with the power of God. And once again, you and I need the power of God to be truly grateful. It does not come natural, unfortunately. Now, the next thing that I want to notice there is that being filled with the Spirit in verse 18 is not just a one-time thing. It's not just, you know, we have sometimes this super spiritual experience and prayers one day, and that's going to, you know, do it for you for the rest of your life. No, that's a continual process, a daily decision, as I mentioned. We see here in Ephesians 5, verse 18, the verb to be filled with the Spirit is in a continuous tense, grammatically speaking. In other words, it's not that one day I'll get there. One day I'll have perfection and all of the power of God. No, it's a continual thing, a growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. Amen? And so, when I sin, when I fall, when I feel powerless or not grateful, I shouldn't get discouraged. Because the wonderful news is, it's not like, well, I've got the Holy Spirit filling once, now I've lost it and I'm out of the game. No, rather it means I can get back into the game, amen? And I can get refilled with the Holy Spirit of Christ once again. How? By confessing my sin, repenting, getting right with the Lord, and yielding myself again to the leadership and control of the Holy Spirit. Let me point you to verse, oh, I'm in chapter 6 here, in chapter 5 of Ephesians, to verse 20. And, of course, we could compare that also with Colossians chapter 3, which would be a parallel passage to this. Once again, we see how in verse 18 it starts out with a commandment. It's not optional for the Christian. You cannot live the Christian life. You cannot keep the commandment to be thankful without the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen? And so we're commanded to be filled with the Spirit. And then it goes on to describe how that looks like or how that manifests itself in our life. And we'll look at several of these things, but verse 20 makes it clear. Giving thanks always for all things. Yes, that's actually what the Bible says. Amen? Yeah. Always for all things. Say, that's crazy. No one can do that. Absolutely right. That's why you need the Holy Spirit of God. It needs something supernatural, amen? Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see here, true gratefulness towards God is associated or is a result of my life more and more being controlled or being filled by God and by His Spirit. By the way, in Colossians chapter 3, oh, you know what? I keep mentioning it. Why don't we turn over there? let me find the verse here, verse 16. Or actually, we could go into verse 15 as well. Now, whenever we see the word let associated with some verbs, some actions, that indicates to us that you and I have control over that. That you and I can make a decision for or against that in our life. All right? So when it says there in Colossians 3, verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your heart, that is a thing you have power over to decide. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. There it is again, associated with the filling of the Holy Spirit. Notice verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, deed means actions, all right? Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Are you getting the idea by now that God wants us to give thanks? Amen? He keeps repeating it because apparently we're forgetful, amen, just like our kids. we notice here, interestingly, that being filled with the Word of God results in the same thing as being filled with the Spirit of God. So, just important to point out, I think. By the way, the Spirit of God will never go against the Word of God, all right? Next. I want to go back to Ephesians 5, there in verse 19. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. Now, this is, of course, not an exhaustive study on the Holy Spirit's filling, all right? But just some, hopefully, practical lessons from Ephesians 5 here that associates and, I believe, helps us to give thanks through the power of God. We see that being filled with the Spirit is also associated with singing spiritual songs unto the Lord. Folks, there's power in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs that are listed here. And it certainly is one of the major ways we see throughout the Bible that believers gave thanks and praise to the Lord. Now, it's by no means the only way, all right? Many times when we say, oh, let's get together and let's put on the music, let's get out the hymnal, let's worship. Well, worship is in so many other ways. You can worship, covered in oil in your garage, on your knees. You can worship right then and there. You can worship on your way to the office. You can worship while you're, trying to not burn the dinner or wherever you are. Worship is more than just, when we get the feeling and when we get together and put on the music. Worship is done in our obedience to the Lord, in our trust, our faith in Him. Part of our worship is our financial giving to Him. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We worship the Lord in how we prioritize and dedicate our time and our schedule. We worship the Lord with obedience in our heart. I think I mentioned that already. We worship the Lord in prayer. So many ways we worship the Lord. But one of those is definitely as well in music and song, and where we give Him thanks as well. Now it says there in verse 19 of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, speaking to yourselves, my brother used to always tease me growing up. He's like, be quiet, Tim. It says speaking to yourselves, amen, not to others in songs. So making melody in your heart. Oh, man. Praise the Lord. I love my brother. He's a good guy. Giving thanks. Oh, sorry. Verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, whatever the heart is full of, the mouth will flow over. Amen. So that's the verse I told him. But what are psalms? What are psalms? Now, folks, I have a pretty exhaustive study on this here. We don't have the time to get into all of that. If you've got more questions on this, by all means, I'd love to go into this. It's been a very, very fascinating study just for me personally even. But, folks, we see psalms consistently associated throughout the Bible with instrumental music. Consistently. We see that in that first mention, First Chronicles chapter 16, where even a whole bunch of instruments are listed there in the temple worship. We see that all throughout the book of Psalms. Whenever we see psalms, most times we see instrumental music associated with it, and there's a good reason for it. Because the words that our Bible uses for psalms basically mean instrumental music with words set to it. I find this interesting because normally we would say that you have lyrics and you set the music to it. But psalms, actually, the emphasis is on the is actually that the lyrics are put to the music. Now, of course, the melodies, the music, the Holy Spirit didn't see fit to preserve for you and for me today. So we'd struggle a little bit in singing those 150 psalms out of our Bible today. Amen. Now, there are some who've put modern melodies to that and you know, to more or less success, and praise the Lord for that. But at the same time, I believe psalms, when we study what psalms are and how they're being used in Scripture, have a very distinct purpose. By the way, Psalms, the book of Psalms is quoted 68 times in the New Testament. In case anybody thinks that's just Old Testament. Psalms have the similar purpose what you and I would today call hymns. Now we know from the New Testament that even the Lord Jesus Christ with his disciples sang hymns. And a hymn is basically a lifting up of God. That's the whole purpose of a hymn. A hymn is exalting God. It's not about how I feel. It's not about everything that I've experienced. It's not about the weather or the state of the world or anything. Hymns are completely exalting to God. And folks, now I'm just sharing my personal experience here, but I specifically love the hymns in our hymn book that are directed towards God, that are describing Him. Oh, and now I'm trying to get the words together. Brother, omnipotent, only wise God. What's... Yes, you know the melody. That's one of my favorite ones. Just describing the majesty of God, or holy, 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 right? So many others that we have. Praise Him, right? That sounds a lot like your psalms. you know, blessed be the name of the Lord. That comes from the book of Psalms. And many, many more that are directly directed towards the Lord or about Him and for Him and to Him. Because it lifts our heart above the muck and mire of this dark, sin-cursed world and lifts our hearts to a sort of a heaven on earth, really. I believe it lifts our hearts heavenward. It lifts it into the spiritual presence of the Lord because it's directed towards Him. The word hymn comes from hymnio, which means to celebrate God in song, to sing praise to God. In Matthew 26, verse 30, we see Jesus singing hymns. In Matthew 16, 25, the same word is used to describe Paul and Silas singing praises unto God in prison. folks, that does not come naturally. Thanking God while you're sitting in prison. It takes the filling, the control of the Holy Spirit of God for me to do that. Amen. That's why those two things are linked together. And then, of course, we have spiritual songs. You know, you may be familiar with the Ode or Ode. You know, if you study music, that's where that the Greek word where that comes from. And there's a lot of confusion what are all considered spiritual songs today. But folks, the main emphasis on spiritual songs is what? Is that they're non-carnal. That's what spiritual means, amen? Study the book of Romans, for example. We see that the flesh and the spirit are contrary one to the other. We see in Romans chapter 8, let me just read that real quick. Then verse 13, Romans 8 verse 13, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the spirit to do mortify, that means put to death, if you through the spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And so God wants us to be led by the Spirit of God in order to sing non-carnal songs, songs that are controlled by the Holy Spirit, songs that are representing the spiritual and the holy character of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Songs that are manifesting the fruit of the Spirit. And with that, folks, they're different, if not to say contrary, to the carnal characteristics of the music of this world, just by the fact that they're spiritual songs. I believe that's very, very important for us to understand. Because if we're truly filled with the Holy Spirit, folks, we won't need the lures of the flesh. We won't need the heavy rhythms and the emotionalism and the superficialities of this world's music. And by the way, yes, music is not just neutral. Even without the words, there's godly music and there's very ungodly music, irrelevant of the words. Music has a very, very powerful effect, folks. You see that, for example, already when David's songs and David's musical playing calmed King Saul when he was troubled in his spirit. We also see throughout the Bible in several instances where music, the music of the world, was also used to entice people to sensuality and to entice them to idol worship. It's the same thing today, folks. The devil hasn't changed his methods. He just puts a new coat on there every once in a while. But somehow, as Christians, we love to be more ignorant than the world many times. The world knows all these things. There's no secrets there. But as Christians, we just like to ignore that. And we rather want to feed our flesh. And we can't do that, though, if you want to be spirit-filled. We see in Colossians 3, verse 16, for example, that spiritual songs are biblical, doctrinally sound songs. We see in Revelation chapter 5, as well as in Revelation chapter 15 there, how once again, the songs that are being sung there in heaven in this situation are songs that are focusing on exalting Christ, exalting His work of salvation for us. Not just feelings or experiences. Now, there's nothing wrong with feelings. Christ had feelings, amen. The disciples had feelings. There's a lot of emotions in the book of Psalms. But it ought to never be disconnected from biblical doctrinal teaching. It ought to never be incited and manipulated through worldly means. Because music is very, very powerful to manipulate us. And so we need to make sure that it's spiritual music, music that, as Ephesians 5 says, emphasizes the melody, and with that, the message of the words. It is music that exalts God, just as hymns do, by the way. Spiritual music is music that's controlled by the Spirit. Now, in John chapter 15 and verse 26, as well as in John 16 verse 14, we see that the Spirit will always focus on glorifying Jesus Christ. And so I want to encourage us to memorize hymns and spiritual songs so that we have them ready to go when trials come, like Paul and Silas in the prison. Sometimes my heart may be so pained and such agony that I can't even feel like praying or reading anymore, but I can still sing. I know many a man or woman that was in such a bad spiritual or mental state that no reasoning and not even quoting scripture was getting through, but song did. That's how powerful psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs are. Is a wise idea to fill your home with the atmosphere of godly scriptural music that emphasizes the melody and emphasizes on exalting God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is all part of us learning how to be thankful. Now lastly, we see there starting in Ephesians 5 verse 21 as we go back there, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Godly relationships is a result of being controlled by the Holy Spirit as well. And of course, they're done into chapter 6. We see how the Lord goes there into describing the relationships of wives who are to submit to their husbands as unto the Lord, how spirit-filled husbands will love their wives as Christ loves His church, how spirit-filled children will obey and honor their parents unto the Lord. Spirit-filled fathers will seek to not provoke their children to wrath, to not discourage them in their faith, to not be self-willed or wrath-filled and angry towards them. Spirit-filled employees are going to seek to work as unto Christ when they work for their employers. And spirit-filled employers will treat their servants justly. Do you see how it affects every area of our life? How I yield to God in my life. And thankfulness is certainly part of that. I cannot have spiritual victory in the Christian life unless I'm willing to surrender and to yield my will and my body to the indwelling control of the Holy Spirit. So if I want to learn how to be more thankful, how to have the attitude of gratitude, I will need to first start with yielding more to the Holy Spirit of God, learning more what His desires, what His will is for my life. And then making that decision to recognize, dear Lord, I cannot produce the fruit of the Spirit and of myself. And so I ask You to do that in me, as I yield to Your control. So I hope this helps a little bit as we were looking on how to be more thankful this morning. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we want to thank You for Your love for us. Lord, Your Holy Spirit truly is a gift from heaven. Lord, help us to never neglect Him. Lord, help us to be careful not to grieve Him. And Lord, help us to worship You and to give You thanks through the power of the Holy Spirit in us. Father, I pray You teach us to yield to You throughout this week and throughout every day to come until You return for us, Lord. Bless us now, Father, we pray in Jesus' name.